Hello, you're listening to the Glastonbury Calling Podcast with Ian and Jem. Yeah, this week it's the travel edition, I know. So on our Life Before the Internet, we talk about travel. Also, I talk a bit about Jem's experiences in the travel industry. Is it as glamorous as we think it is? Well, listen on. Also, what we got to last week and this week's gig guides as well. So we're going to kick the show off with a bit of Jess Cook, and this track is called Thunder.
Your new girl wears the clothes that we would laugh about 6 beers deep, but now you find them attractive and you're kissing her the way you used to me. And I heard that she fits in well with your group of four who matter more and well. I just wonder what you told your mom. Something along the lines of she wasn't the one. And they all drink wine and gossip to pass the time. And I bet you're scared to hug her in case you think of me, or you'll wonder we're just like thunder. We're just like thunder. Middle of March and I'm feeling low. This isn't how college was supposed to go. Telling people you'll apologize. Honestly, I'd like to see you try. And they all drink wine and gossip to pass the time. And I bet you're scared to hug her in case you think of me, oh, and you'll wonder we're just like thunder. We're just like thunder, 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 oh. 'Cause you're scaring me in the middle of the night, and I'm telling myself I'll be alright. Getting messages from girls I don't wanna know. Whatever happened to the perfect girl you wanted to know? 'Cause they all drink wine and gossip to pass the time. And I bet you're scared to hug her in case you think of me, oh, and you'll wonder we're just like thunder. We're just like thunder.
Hello and welcome to Glastonbury Calling Podcast with Ian and Jem. All right, Jem?
Yeah, hi Ian. How are you this week?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Getting on with it. Nice to look out to the garden and see the sun shining anyway. So that's all good.
Well, yeah, bad news. It's just clouded over where I am talking at the moment. So disappointed about that. Thought sit out in the garden, do a bit of washing, do the chores, yeah, in the garden. Nothing there.
No,
cloudy. It's coming your way.
Yeah. Oh, you been up to much since you got back from Italy?
Yeah. Well, we went to London last weekend. We went up Saturday morning.
Yeah.
As I mentioned last week, London is cool. We were staying in Shoreditch. There are loads of musicians and artists. Great graffiti. We stayed in this hotel in Shoreditch, which just, I knew I was going to love it. When you've got like electric guitars hanging from the walls, loads of vinyl in a bookcase. They didn't have many books, but had loads of vinyl. This is in a hotel, and they've got record players and this sort of funky bar. You just think, I'm going to like this. Yeah. And in the room, this is how things have changed. You've got a tablet that actually sort of works the sort of shutters for your blinds. There's lights and different color lights. So in my head, I thought it'd be great just to jump up and down on the bed with the light control, changing the color and having my own personal disco.
Oh, good grief.
I wasn't too impressed with that, but I was a boy with a toy.
Yeah.
And it was great fun. Yeah. And then, you know, this, we've spoken about getting to gigs before. So we went to see this Chilean rapper called Anatiju. It's part of London's La Linea Festivals. It's a festival each year. It's an annual festival celebrating Latin America. And so there's loads of gigs over the still going on this week as well. So the whole of the Latin London community came out, different countries from all over South America. It was really exciting. But the best thing was kind of working out where the venue was. You come out the front door of the hotel and literally cross the road, and there it was. I've never been so close to a venue before. Yeah. It was brilliant. And a great gig as well. Really cool woman, and very political. She did a rap with... I can't remember her name at the end. There was this guy called Omar that came on. I think he's a soul singer, did stuff with Simply Red, apparently. He was great. And then she had another guest, a rapper from Palestine, who you could just see the anger and you could see the passion between these two amazing women. So that was really, really impressive. It was really great to see, you know, kind of authentic music that is just cool. So we did that, went to a fashion museum in the Shoreditch area, or was it near Canary Wharf, actually?
Yeah.
And just saw loads of things in cool London. So, yeah, had a really good time. So that's me. What about you?
Oh, me? Well, we didn't really do that much last weekend, you know.
You were doing golf. You were doing the mistress.
Yeah, we were watching the golf on telly, yeah. So that was it, really. So we were watching that. That was... We enjoyed it. That was quite exciting. Then we went out on, well, I say went out. We went out in the garden on Sunday and did loads of tidying up on the garden. So this is our project that we've been working on, just getting stuff a lot neater and up together for the summer, really. So, yeah, we just worked hard over the weekend, really.
So are we having, like, with so many festivals closing down, are we all invited to the Ian and Karen Fest?
Well, you know, there's a festival called the Secret Garden Party. Ours is going to be the tiny Secret Garden Party.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so, and we're in brackets, don't pinch our strawberries that we're growing.
So I know of the group called In Brackets. Do they have, like, another group called In Brackets, Don't Pinch Our Strawberries?
I mean, there should be. Don't Pinch Our Strawberries. Well, I hope they start. It looks like we're going to grow some. All the sort of is starting to sprout and flowers are coming through on them. So hopefully we'll get some through the summer.
So I'm all in favour of marital bliss. What happens is in the middle of the night, Karen zips out into the garden and then pinches your strawberries. That's okay. It's in the family, isn't it?
They belong to both of us. So
she might save one. Yeah. You know, I mean, it is the first person come first serve. You know, it's all good and love and peace.
Yeah. No, it's good. I just have to get some nets sort of like later in the year just to cover them over or something to stop the birds getting at them. Because, like, you know, we've got a lot of birds in our bird feeder, which is great. And hope that keeps them off them anyway, and being attracted to the bird feeder rather than the nice strawberries.
I know where I'm going with it, but I know I need to sort of curtail myself. I'm imagining your bird feeder with no bird feed in it, but all these birds in your bird feeder. Because that's what you just said to me.
No, we get a lot of birds in on the bird feeder, so it's quite good. Good
inside it. Most bird feeders, you peck the feed from the outside of the bird feeder. Yeah. You just said you've got a lot of birds in your bird feeder, so they're actually so hungry. Straight into the container.
Yeah. Well, they should. Yeah.
Should we move on before it gets more ridiculous?
Yeah. So, that's all we've been up to, really. Haven't been up to that much. it's getting ready. We're off on holiday soon, so we're trying to keep our sort of like budget quite tight, and we've got other things coming up. So yeah, just trying to keep on top of things, really, like most people.
Trying to keep on top of the world, looking down at creation.
Yeah. All right, let's play some music then. There's a brand new track out by Lonely Tourist. It's coming out in May, and it's called Always the Way.
I knew it wasn't right. I didn't want to see your face. The disappointment, the disappointment. The good place to be. All the things you've always been. Resilient, resilient. Don't see it won't die because it will, and you know it. Chip away at something, I'll have nothing to show for it. Something happens when you leave. Always the way, always the way. Something happens you don't see. Always the way, always the way. Something happens when you meet. Always the way, always the way. Something happens you don't see. Always the way, always the way. I should have closed my eyes. Never go far, but disappointing, disappointing. You spotted from a mile. Never want to let it slide. Superstition, superstition. Don't see it won't die because it will, and you know it. Chip away at something, I'll have nothing to show for it. Something happens when you leave. Always the way, always the way. Something happens you don't see. Always the way, always the way. Something happens when you leave. Always the way, always the way. Something happens you don't see. Always the way, always the way. Don't say it won't die because it will, and you know it. Chip away at something, I'll have nothing to show for it. Something happens when you leave. Always the way, always the way. Something happens you don't see. Always the way, always the way. Something happens when you leave. Always the way, always the way. Something happens you don't see. Always the way, always the way.
Not beautiful and really not cool. Just another face that was leaving school. Overlooked in the grab for small town glamour. But you waited out this pantomime. Oh, so patient, you took your time to rise above this midlife mess in these days of rust and clamour. And your presence here is luminescence, floating like a firefly on the breeze, shining in the spotlight like you're swinging from a high trapeze. Oh, oh. the high trapeze. Well, you're hard as a hand grenade and sweet as diet lemonade, tender as a puppy's wounded paw. And you're elegant as Venetian lace, but cunning as a hidden ace, the confident commander in the fields of love and war. And your presence here is luminescence, floating like a firefly on the breeze, shining in the spotlight like you're swinging from the high trapeze. Oh, the high trapeze. Like a firefly on the breeze, shining in the spotlight like you're swinging from the high trapeze. Oh, the high trapeze. Oh, the high trapeze.
Okay, that's High Trapeze by Billy Shinbone there. So, like, right, you're going to do a lot of heavy lifting here.
I've just done some in the library today. I've been moving about 20 boxes of books and trying to sort them out. So I'm quite tired. Do I get like a coffee break or a tea break in the middle of my heavy lifting?
You can have a coffee break. You can have a coffee break. So our life before the internet bit is going to be on travel. And,
and
we've got the next section is going to be what it's like to be involved in the travel industry, because you did that as well, and it'd be an interesting thing to talk about. So I think that's why I sort of like thought about the two together, because they combine together quite well, and someone who had a good, really good background in that for many years, it'd be a good thing to talk about. So like in life before the internet, travel, what memories does it bring back for you then?
Well, it's interesting because it has merged from life before the internet straight into continuing to compete with the internet, as the internet is seen as the surpasser of life before. And it's not always that, like vinyl's coming back and travel through travel companies there as well. My memories is very, to share sort of the story, is that I sort of went in with a mate. We were going to go this was in the 80s, before the internet, into booking a trip to India for 6 weeks. So we went to this company on the Earls Court Road in London, where all these places were called bucket shops. So they were places, was not a traditional travel agency. It was basically where airlines needed to fill up their seats, trains needed to fill up their seats. So they kind of got a middle company to help promote selling those seats with special discounts and things. So we were aware of it because in Earls Court Road, it's often being called Kangaroo Valley. A lot of Australians, a lot of people from New Zealand, people from all over the world. It's a traveller's place, loads of magazines. Picked this magazine up from this company. thought, well, we'll go there. So we went to this company and said, we'd like to go to India. And this person, whose name is Paul, I remember him because that's how friendly people were, said, yeah, you can do that. But do you know, for the same price, you can go for around the world. So this 6-week trip, because of this organization, ended up being us traveling and doing a working holiday in Australia. Yeah. We traveled for 18 months in the end. And what it was, this person was basically talking to us about places and countries. It made it all so exciting. So 18 months, move the clock, 18 months later, got back unemployed. What do you do with an unemployed traveler? Well, you work for a travel company. So I ended up working for that same organization, doing that sort of same sort of thing, just talking about countries around the world, food, different places, and how to join it up. So there were still computers in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
They had access to the airline's reservation system, to the train reservation system. But the way it was all done was done through a computer and then printed onto pieces of paper, reams of paper, printing out all these things being put out into the post. What was life like before then? Well, there was camaraderie. Everyone, we were called like a rehabilitation center for ex-travelers. So we made loads of friendships. We went traveling together. And that's what happened. Loads of people joined this organization. So what was it like beforehand? You weren't just getting stressed with your computer going down and flights being cancelled. You were actually having a proper conversation about what was this place like. You were talking to people into those places. So that's what it was like. And fast moving, working in the travel industry, very sociable. We ended up meeting loads of people from all over the world. We ended up dealing with lots of tour organisations. A lot of stuff, things that I'd never thought about doing, like overland tours, so taking these big 4x4s, going across deserts and going across areas. It just was very, very exciting. And it felt very innocent in those days, you know, when you were meeting up people, you'd help out do the cooking. So it wasn't. So
if people come in to book, would they go, right, would they tend to come in with an idea where they wanted to go? Or did you get people come in who are quite open-minded and want to get involved in a discussion?
So like all organisations, there is always like some banter that goes on with members of staff about typical things that you would have of people receiving the post. So in our day, that kind of typical thing where someone might come in. So I worked in this same place in the Earls Court Road, and in those days, the demand outstrips our supplies. So in many times, people would come into, it's still there on Earls Court, top of the Earls Court Road, this organisation, and people were waiting sometimes an hour and a half or 2 hours to see someone. So we would send them over to the pub, to wait over in the pub. We'd take their name, put them in order, and we would physically get up into the pub and would call out, is he in there, please? And out you come really, really pleased. You've had a bit to drink, mind you. And you come in and you sit down. So the sort of conversation could be, I want to go somewhere hot. That was typical thing. Yeah, it could be something like that. Or it is, I want to sort of do the Hindu Kush, or which you can't do anymore, or go to the Middle East, or which you can't do so easily anymore. So usually people had an idea of what they wanted to do. And the role that we had is that you could, if you go on the internet on an airline's flight or train service, you then book your A to B. But what do you do and what do you see around that? See, what we had was people talking about those destinations. And when people travel or backpack, you talk to other people on the road and you meet them and you end up going to different countries. So you'd be talking for a with this person in front of you, booking a whole itinerary. And what you would do, as an example that we did when we went to Canada to see my daughter, is like Iceland Air, for example. They fly from the UK, they fly to Reykjavik, but they also fly to North America. So we're going to see my daughter in Canada. We got a flight to Toronto. And for those that are not in the know, you say, do you know you can also go to Iceland? It's en route. Yeah, it's included in the same price. Well, I didn't know you could do that. So we, you know, it's what we did. We ended up doing like a week's tour around, on an overland tour around Iceland, and then went on to see my daughter in Canada after that. So it's basically what we would call it, it's exceeding the ideas and expectations. So you use the ideas of what people had, and then you throw in suggestions of where to travel and how to do it, where to eat, where to drink. It's like us having a bit of a chat, and you're meeting such amazing people. Very, very sociable. Young people, in my former life, when I was married, I met my my ex-wife at the same organisation I worked for, and the owner of the organisation was really pleased about how many marriages came out of us, because we just didn't know what to do with ourselves. We didn't want to conform. We wanted to keep travelling or do stuff. So why not work with like-minded people? So it was a really fun time to work, really good fun.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, people go, that's what I say, people go on Skyscanner and things like that our days, and, you know, you can look at video and get your own ideas, whereas, like, back then it was reading a book or magazine to get
an idea. You're right. How did I travel? When I ended up doing this 18-month trip, there was a yellow book called The Lonely Planet, Rough Guide to Southeast Asia.
Rough Guide.
It was called, we called it The Bible. It was a yellow book. And Tony Wheeler and his wife wrote it, and we used it. And then we used it as a starting point. Then we would go off piste, you know. So that in those days it was books, but you still can get those travel books either online or in physical print. And that's a lot. I still use them. So that is true. You can go online and book all these things. But then you see what happened in our job, and when it started to become professionally enjoyable, but less enjoyable in terms of social, is that when people booked lots of itineraries, and then you'd have things like earthquakes and volcanoes in Iceland blocking the airspace, or, you know, some tsunamis and things like that. When you book with an airline or directly, you can't get through. So that's what we were doing. We would help rescue people, get them out of their situation, cover the cost most of the time, you know. And so that's what we ended up doing, helping people in difficulty. So it's a very strange thing. Before the internet, you were your own person, and the only way you would have a conversation or get an interaction to book something would be either on the telephone or in person.
The nearest thing you get to that now, you watch that race across the world on TV.
Yes, I've been watching that.
I bet that sort of like brings back memories, because it's like, they're not allowed any phone, any mobile. I know occasionally they do ask people about, but they just hoik up and go, oh, right, I need to get a ferry over to so-and-so. I need to get there. Can you tell me how to do it, to the travel people? Yeah.
And exactly. So you can still look this stuff up now easier, but I think people actually miss the human interaction. So the organisation I work for is still doing really well, because actually they make the process enjoyable, because the people that I was doing selling, I spent all my day talking about countries around the world. No wonder why I like music from around the world. But then there's other things. You get used to some gap years or something that's very, very common. I remember being with my mate that I was traveling with. We were on an exotic Pacific island, and the obvious questions were, take me somewhere hot, or I want to go mountaineering, I want to climb a mountain, loads of different, you know, I want to be at sea. And I remember we were just talking to this guy from Australia. He was in a bar, and you'd have these standard questions saying, oh, where are you from? You know, what do? You know, well, who did you fly with, you know, to get here? And the guy looked at me and said, I didn't fly. Oh, okay, how did you get here? I sailed here from Australia to the Pacific. Oh, okay. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm going around the world. I thought, wow, it's come on my boat. So we ended up going on this boat, having a few beers. And we stayed in touch for many, many years. He lived just outside Sydney. And I said, tell me a country that you really liked. You know, so that's the travel conversation. And then this guy, in those days, never heard of it. He said, Costa Rica, you know, it's got the most amazing people. There's no army. It's got the most diverse bird life and rainforests. I thought, it's amazing. I said, when I could afford it, I thought I'd go there. So I joined this travel organization. And obviously, you do get, you know, the benefits of being able, you know, you're encouraged to travel, so you can talk to people about those places. So that's what this guy did. And after 1 year, I saved up some money, ended up going to Costa Rica just because of having a conversation with one person on that boat in the middle of nowhere. And he was right. It was the most incredible place. Still got the vinyl that I bought from my Costa Rican record shop in San Jose. So it's about meeting, you know, it's like when we meet in Glastonbury, all the different people coming into Glastonbury over the world, and you strike up these conversations that can leave an impression. So in the commercial world, although people are buying something, you're having a human interaction that makes the sales process enjoyable. It's like when you go to like something like Morocco or the Middle East and you're bartering, and it's a kind of a game. It's not just a transaction. It's a process. You have to go through this bartering.
Yeah,
it's expected of you. And rather than getting angry about it, just make it enjoyable. So it's changed a lot now, but actually people are going to physical books. People are going back to the old fashioned way of chatting to people, because you end up not just with the original idea, you might end up doing more things that you weren't aware of. Some very, very happy memories. Yeah.
So did you know that in the between 1957 and something like 1977, the mid 70s, there used to be a coach trip from London to Calcutta? That's nuts. So people used to do it, and it was like all in, it was like a holiday. So people would just get on this coach and then go all across Europe, all across Asia, until they got to Calcutta. I mean, and they did tickets either as a one way or return, but well, one way, and then you'd have to get a one way back because there was lots of stops and places to visit on the way. I mean, that's nuts.
So that's how a lot of these travel companies, I mean, they've all changed ownership over the years, the majority started up. There were people, some of them sort of ex-forces, people who come out of the, you know, military service in the 60s. And then they kind of all got together and opened up their own version of that. They got these Bedford trucks and converted them into sleeping areas. And they ended up going from London down the right the way down to Cape Town. Similar sort of thing, but less people travelling on it. And they became the really popular. And you can still do them, these overland. I've done a few myself. And that way, you actually then become involved in actually going to the local markets and buying local food and cooking up your own food, you know, in the middle of nowhere. And it's that kind of, I kind of, it's heavy work because you go over bumpy roads and if you're caught up in mud, which happened to me, you've got to help push the thing, you're covered in mud. but that's the thrill of it. And it's the thrill of interacting with other people that are traveling and actually being able to, as you're passing through, to be able to actually eat local food and cook the food that is available from markets. It's simple food, just mainly vegetarian food most of the time. Okay. So, there was lots of overland organisations, and they're still around, these buses.
Right, let's play some more music and have a bit more chat about this. This is a track by the Tiffanys, and it's called Fleur.
Thank you.
Okay, that's The Understairs and Yesterday's Sweetheart. So what were the perks when you were in a travel agency? What did you everyone thinks, you must have got loads of free travel, or you must have, you know, or discounted travel or things like that.
Yeah, so the thing is, if you're booking an air flights, and also people are much more aware of travelling by air now and how often, how frequently to do it, and a lot of people believe, you know, you've got to reduce that. It's important to consider that. But what happened, the airlines then started to control their own flights, and then they stopped paying commission to travel agencies. So travel companies don't get any profit from selling a flight. So you wouldn't then get a discount working the organisation if it was not there. So within the travel industry at large, there is a sort of feeling that in order for someone to understand what to talk to people about by experiencing it themselves, so there's something that's called, they're long-standing within the whole of the travel industry, called educationals. And what that is you go to a place in 3 or 4 days, and then you visit the hotels, the restaurants, all the places that, you know, that clients can choose. And so you visit and you meet the people working in the hotels, so you've got some knowledge of what to sell. So in my day, you know, I remember, you know, going on a trip with Singapore Airlines to Australia with lots of different other travel companies. And we'd go to sort of some of the national parks. And so my highlight for me on doing that was actually going on a walk during the daytime in the bush, but to actually have a sensory walk. What is it like to walk in a national park where you are sight impaired? And I thought, I'd never experienced that before. So we had to use like a rope to hold on to. And we were then taught to listen to the sounds of the wildlife, the bird life, with a sort of a park ranger describing what we're hearing. So we didn't see anything because we had to do it all by hearing. And it left a really powerful impression. I've got a bit of sight impairment, and to actually imagine, my dad lost his sight for a few months before I was born. So I've always been very sensitive to the luxury of sight and my own sight. So to experience that, I actually really did encourage you to sort of listen out by touch and feel. And that was on a trip that I would have never done before. It had no benefit in any business that we transacted, because no one really would be doing that necessarily. But it was something that was, I saw as, I guess to use the word, a perk. But with it, you get a good impression of how you fly from or get from A to B, whether you're on a ship. So we got that. We would get, obviously, we also were encouraged to travel independently in my line of work, where we would get sort of reductions of cost, you know, sort of a small discount because we're selling it. And then what we would do, it was unique to the company I work for, we would then have to write up for other people to read a report of the places that we went to, the whole itinerary from the transport, the hotels, the walks, which then the rest of the team across the whole of the UK could access. So Jem went to this place, went to this restaurant, recommend you do this. If you're checking in, the best thing to do is to go to this car park if you're parking, or to don't leave it too late. So you could read what other people's experiences are and then introduce that to the client. Saying,
within the company, you were creating your own rough guide
planet
guide.
One of my highlights really was, which is a dream for everyone that knows me, it's a dream really, was that one day, so the company I worked for was seen as relatively cool. A company got in touch they were making a film in West Africa, and they wanted someone that knew a little bit about it to go and checking for sites as to where to film. So I had I was given the afternoon off work to go down to this film production company to sit down and talk about places in Ghana as to where to site. And for me, that's one of my highlights. Kind of, you know, the company was very generous in doing that. They were supporting a film company. I don't know if it was with the BBC. So, you know, as well as supporting clients, we also, you know, I remember, you know, Simon Calder came into our organisation. I remember once also sitting in, it was in the West End of London, sitting down and being, Tony Blackburn came in. I remember seeing Blonde Debbie Harry came in. So the other part was seeing all these kind of relatively famous people coming in. And I remember, I can't remember what her name is, when I worked a bit in Bristol in travel, it was the young person from the daughter from Absolutely Fabulous came in.
And Maddie Swahali or something.
Yes, that's right. Yes. She came in and, you know, so it was quite interesting. It felt quite exciting seeing all these different people. Yeah, it was so that with it, you know, we also used to have stands at travel shows, so you'd get to them to talk to other travellers and travel companies. It's a bit like everything. It's like in your role, it's everything is not a clique, but it's a small area where everyone kind of knows of each other from, you know, the airlines or whatever. I think the other perk I got, which I don't mind sharing, is that my name went into a hat once. And it ended up going to the German Cup, saw England, Sweden with David Beckham and all those kind of guys, purely because, as you see, lots of airlines and travel companies. Even countries now, Paul Kagame from Rwanda has been over in the UK, no comment on that, but he sponsors Arsenal Football Club. So with it, sometimes there would be those kind of, everything we had to declare, but you had the opportunity maybe of joining something. And I remember going to the World Cup in Germany, but that's very rare that happened, it only happened the once, but that was an amazing thing. So it is a fun environment. It's hard work. We work 9 hours a day minimum.
Yeah.
25-minute break. But it was very, very sociable. You know, it was non-stop. It was never quiet. So it was quite, I couldn't do it now, I'm too old. But then it was just exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I suspect you never spoke to the same person for longer than sort of like half an hour, really. You know, you'd be talking to lots of different.
Not necessarily. Yeah. No. I mean, there were a few people that would phone up and you knew who they were. They were famous people. And I spoke to Ruby Wax. Ruby Wax phoned up with her. I'm not going to do an American accent. And so I picked up the phone and then she said, "Hi, this is Ruby Wax here. Could I speak to," I'm making up the name now, "Ian?" And I thought, "I'll just speak to Ruby Wax." "Yeah, I'll put you through straight away." So that call lasted about 2 seconds. Other times I was talking to an actress, a well-known actress loads of experience and just hilarious, very, very well-known. And she would end up I helped her out. There was a problem. Something got cancelled and I found a way of redoing it and saved this actress a lot of money and got an upgrade. So by the end of the call, I was Jem and it was like, I can't believe I'm talking to this person. So that was very exciting, you know, as well. And I saw that as a bit of a perk. It was an honour to sort of meet different kinds of people, you know. It's a very, very sociable world, which you don't get any of that on the internet, do you? That's the thing. You don't.
No,
you're
no.
on your own. You've got no one to confide in, really.
No. No, you don't. Yeah, you don't get to speak directly with people. I mean, it's not bad now on the YouTube because you can watch lots of YouTube videos and that, and quite a lot of those are quite personable, where the people are talking to you almost directly. But obviously, it's not the same as direct human contact, you know.
There's the other thing as well. You know, everyone knows I work for the library service, and so when the library's closed, I've got my books all around that I can go and borrow myself, and I feel very honoured to do that. But in those days, I remember, I'm a big fan of the Wanderlust magazine, the travel magazine, and saw an article in it about a Greek island called Ikaria, which is where Icarus and Daedalus apparently, it's rumored, crashed onto this island. and it's seen as one of the healthy islands. It's like a blue health zone, but everyone lives quite old. Never been there. I thought, that looks quite good. Because yeah. working within the travel company, I could book through. We had a department where you do it, but you could research. But how do I get there then? How do I do it? And had once we closed, I'd spend some time afterwards, you know, planning my own arrangements, in my obviously in personal time. But I was there, I was in it. After it's closed, I could borrow books now. But when it's closed in travel, I could end up dreaming of destinations to go to. Yeah, it was fun days. I remember also just doing for the staff, I did like in those days before the internet or video, I did a slide projectors show for my colleagues. Where I brought when I went to West Africa in the late 80s, I came back with loads of photographs, and then after we closed, put on a little talk about my travels around West Africa using a slide projector. It'd be much easier now, wouldn't it, but with video?
Yeah, much easier. All right, brilliant. That's fantastic. Let's play some more music. This is called Those Eyes Can't Lie to Me, and it's by Reuben's Daughters.
Happy.
Thank you.
Right, that's Bella Geis by Vetna. So we'll go through the gigs this weekend. So on Thursday, there's the Fuzz EP launch at the King Arthur. They've got a launch of their EP. They play a mixture of original music and covers from Oasis to Queens of the Stone Age. It's a local band. So if you're interested in that, you can get down there and see their EP launch. There's open mic night at the Market House. You can take your own instruments along and play there. At the Rifleman's, unusual Thursday gig, Kitty Stewart is playing at the Rice, and Rowan Black's on the guitar with her as well. So she's playing with a band. So, yeah, between 9 and 10 on Thursday night. On Friday, there's Bardic Songs and Poems and Music at St. Benedict's Church with John Crow, Pop Tim Raven, Nick Ashron, and the Chaired Bard of Inswittrin, I think. Anyway, that's that. Also, there's a Battle of the Bands on at Somerton. This is to play at the Somerton Summerstock as part of the Summerton Arts Festival. So playing that at Vetna, Absolute Zero and Junebug, and that's on the parish at the Parish Rooms. On the Saturday, there's a 90s rave at the Rifleman's, Pixels on at the King Arthur, so DJ nights on at both there. Philippa Hannah is playing at Street Baptist Church, and local favourites Last One Home are playing at the Crofters, so up in Bristol if you want to travel a little bit. And then on Sunday, you've got the Backdoor Blues Jam at the Queen of Cups, and the Moonlit Poachers are playing at the King Arthur. So that's from 8 till 10, music there. And yeah, that's your gig guide for the week. So what have you got anything to add to that?
So if you ask me a question, what am I doing?
What are you doing? Yeah.
Got a lot of plans potentially, because I asked you to see if you're free. I'm trying to dovetail two different events worth mentioning, really. Mr. T and the Minions are playing at David Hall in South Pemberton, and I've never seen them live. I've always, as you know, wanted to get them into Glastonbury, and that is the plan. So I'm hoping to see them. So mention Mr. T and the Minions and how I'm really looking forward to hoping to catch up with the band as well, because they've got some new music out. But also something which is not music-like but worth mentioning. It's in Clevedon on Saturday and Sunday. It's something called the Green Shift Festival. It's at the Curzon Theatre, England's oldest continuously running cinema. It's a two-day festival curated with Sustainable Clevedon, exploring how we can take small steps to create big impacts towards low carbon and a sustainable future. It features talks, workshops, films and live music and comedy, and it's on over 2 days. And it's just £15 per day, and you get £5 off if you take both days. So that's at the Curzon Theatre Cinema. So I'm either going to that on the Saturday or the Sunday. I'm not sure which day I'm going. It's whether I can get back to Mr. T and the Minions. So
That looks a nice little cinema, actually. I've seen that. I used to dream about
it from the outside. It's a beautiful cinema. I mean, this is just a special one-off. I think they've got the local North Somerset MPs where you can talk and ask questions of your MP. As this is Glastonbury Calling, can I rephrase it? You can grill your MPs about their thoughts on a green, sustainable future and what they're doing about it. So that, I think, is going to be really, really interesting. It's quite close to us in Glastonbury. Definitely worth looking up. And the cinema itself is absolutely beautiful. It's really, I've seen some amazing films with orchestras there, like the old black and white films as well. So I'm looking forward to going back to the Curzon Cinema in Clevedon.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we got our sister-in-law's coming down this weekend. So, her husband, John. So that'd be nice. We're going to show him around Glastonbury and show him around the area, take him on an exciting tour, go out and do a few things anyway. So that's once I finish work on Saturday. So yeah, looking forward to that. So yeah, you know, this is the first time they've really come and stayed down here in all the years that we've been here. So that's quite nice. So yeah,
they'll have a great time, won't they?
Yeah. They'll have a great time. I mean, there's lots to show around here. I mean, obviously, like a couple of days is by a long shot not enough. not to see all the stuff in the local area anyway. So yeah, we're looking forward to that. Right. So we're going to wind up.
I think so. We'll call that a wrap.
Yeah.
Don't know what the filling is, but we'll have a wrap. Halloumi in the wrap with a little bit of chili sauce.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, that'd be lovely. Yeah. I think I had a halloumi pizza yesterday, so that was quite nice.
Ooh. he's too avant-garde for me, everyone, this Ian. Halloumi pizza. That's a great way to finish. I'm not going to say goodbye. I'm just going to say halloumi pizza, everyone.
Yeah, halloumi pizza. Have a great weekend, and if you want to check out the gigs, go to Glastonbury Online, and you know, there's great details of all the stuff that's on in the local area. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend, and we're going to finish up with Last One Home, and this track is Bring Down the Storm.
Storm again.